We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our musical chairs edition of Sports Talk. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, is out. Welcome into Hour 2. The great Deuce McAllister filling in for the Cannon. He filled in for me a couple days last week. How'd you do with Bobby, man? Did all right with him?
Bobby made me give him this day in history.
Of course. Of course.
And I'm thinking, what? But Deuce, you gotta let me talk about this. I said, Bobby, what are you talking about? I did some research on some famous happenings in sports. I say, okay, Bobby, we're going to give you got a segment where you can talk about this day in history, whether it was a famous birthday as far as a player, or you know, the first home run for Babe Ruth on that day, and I think Hank Aaron hit one, and I mean, but he would go back into whatever time zone, and he is this happened on this day in history. So
yeah,
outside of that, it was pretty good.
The worst but best thing that ever happened to Bobby was being able to get a smartphone and an iPad, because we kind of created a monster, as kids actually did by giving him those gifts, created a monster, but in a good way, because he's thirsty. He loves history.
He loves history.
Loves any kind of, whether it's sports history, American history, world history, doesn't matter. He's all about it. I mean, how many times did we hear during the draft about the chariot rider? I forget his name.
The chariot rider guy. I didn't get him on that. We did talk about his trip, and Bobby left. When is he leaving? Is it next week or this week?
I think it's this week.
But anyway,
where's it going?
Budapest.
Oh, yeah, Budapest.
And so we talked about Budapest, and what's interesting is I've had a friend that has stayed over there. And so just talking to him, he was so excited, and he wants to see the buildings more than anything. You know, he wants to look at some of the architect. And,
of course.
He was upset about the weather. Because apparently
Bobby was?
Yeah, apparently okay. During this time it's gonna rain every day. So he was upset about that because he said he didn't know if it would allow him to get out and see some of the architect over in Budapest. So he's excited about it.
Poor Bobby. Poor Bobby. Day in history and then gets to go to Budapest. JT Gray is another player last year that was a surprise make of this roster, and then he ended up cutting him because he got caught up in a little bit of a numbers game. They needed a spot because of injuries. Size up his chances. He's once again a player that's going to be fighting for this team.
He'll fight for this team. I mean, I think he'll fight to be on that roster just because traditionally this team doesn't carry three quarterbacks. And so they have to feel really good about him to be that third guy. You feel like obviously Drew and Teddy are going to make it. And then when I say quarterback, I put Taysom Hill in as a slash guy. And so that's why I said traditionally – three quarterbacks. So JT will have to prove it. He's going to be a numbers game as well again. And they want to see some development from him. And, you know, I think that he's going to make that leap just because he's been with this team. This will be his second complete offseason with this team.
Carl Granderson's a defensive end, undrafted free agent. The Saints brought in, along with last year, Marcus Davenport. They brought in Mario Edwards. They got the holdover and Cam Jordan, the veteran stud. Trey Hendrickson. Third-round pick out of,
Florida Atlantic?
Florida Atlantic, I think, or Florida International. Nonetheless, Trey Hendrickson wasn't dressed a lot last year, banged up the year before. He's certainly fighting for a spot.
Well, he's got to prove that he's healthy. And I think if he can prove that he's healthy, he's going to help himself. I mean, because the one thing that he gives you is he can play inside and out, particularly inside on third down. But outside, you know, he's got to be stout against the run. And so I like him as a player. You know, I like him as a player. Florida Atlantic is where Trey went. I like Trey as a player. He's got to continue to develop another move as well. I mean, because I think that's one thing that has hurt. You know, when you can't beat a tackle, offensive tackle, with speed, you know, what's your counter move? And I think that was another thing when you talk about Davenport having to develop a couple of moves. You know, you talk about okay, is it a spin move? Is it a speed? Is it an up and under? You know, I think that he had just a limited package as far as tools in the toolbox. When you talk about as a defensive end, what are you going to use? What is my counter move? You know, is my counter move always a spin? Well, the offensive tackle, after he see you do it once or twice, he's going to set outside, set heavy, and then he's going to use heavy inside hand, and you're done. And so I think those are just things that he's going to have to continue to make that adjustment when you talk about Trey Hendrickson, you know, making this roster.
When we come back, I want to get your impression of little Jordan Humphrey, the wide receiver. I know you didn't get a chance to see him necessarily in rookie minicamp, but I'm sure you saw him during his time at Texas. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. LSU UNO on the baseball diamond at 6:30. First pitch, we'll hand things off to the LSU Sports Radio Network at 6 o'clock. LSU right now, as it stands for the SEC tournament, would be the 5 seed. They would not be a top 4. It would be a 5 or 6.
They're okay, 6.
Okay, they're 6, that's right.
And the only reason I know is because Ole Miss is 5.
Yeah, and they're what is Ole Miss doing? They play so well against LSU, beat them at the box, and then get swept by Mississippi State.
Their rival, who has beaten them probably 12 of 13 of the last time that they have played.
Mm.
And so it's almost like writer's block for them when they play Mississippi State. I mean, Mississippi State, you talk about just figuring out a way and finding out a way to beat them, whether it's coming late rallies in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning. And Jake Mangum, and I know his dad is a really good friend, terrorized them for 4 years. I mean, literally terrorized them. And I know that they are so happy to see Jake leave or potentially leave Mississippi State this year, and they won't have to face him again. But, I mean, when you look at the top four teams in the SEC, Vanderbilt, you know, I think
– Georgia, Arkansas?
Well, no, I mean, just Vanderbilt being the team that they are, and then you talk about Arkansas, and then you talk about Georgia. Man, it's – I think at least Georgia, Arkansas State – well, no – Vandy, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and I'm not sure about Georgia. I don't know if Georgia started hot. I know there's three teams locks for sure.
Yeah, you'll have three top eight national seeds.
Yeah, top eight national seed and possibly a fourth with Georgia being that fourth. But, you know, when you talk about the SEC tournament, and this is LSU as well as Ole Miss, Ole Miss, they're bullpen. If their starters don't go 7-8 innings, I don't know if they can win, you know, because there's not many games that you're going to be able to go into it and produce 6 or 7 runs as far as a slugfest is concerned. And that's the same problem that LSU has had. I mean, if their starters don't go deep, you know, 6 or 7 innings into a game, there's just not enough overall depth.
Well, they're in good shape in the back end of their bullpen with Devin Fontenot, Hess, and Todd Peterson.
Yeah, but the starters.
Right, they got to get you 5.
They can't get you five. They haven't been able to get them there.
Right.
And so now you burn up one of your better players in one day where he can't pitch twice.
Who does Ole Miss have this weekend?
Today they're at Arkansas State, and then they're at Tennessee.
Tennessee, okay.
At Tennessee. And
so they're in shape to host a regional right now.
Yes.
They're projected top 16.
Yeah, they're
projected. LSU came into the weekend against Arkansas projected top 16.
Well,
but they've fallen out of that.
Well, let me put it this way. They have to probably take 2 or 3 against Tennessee. You can't go 0-for again, and that's what they did against Mississippi State. I think Ole Miss has to take 2 or 3 to be able to host. If not, they're going to be a 2-seed.
You know, for those LSU fans that might be doom and gloom and thinking that, oh, man, there's no way that LSU can host a regional, let me just present the case to you that the reason why, if they win tonight against UNO, right, they end the season on a 4-game winning streak.
They've got to get to 18.
They got to get to 18 wins in the conference.
Correct.
All right, and then not only that, but
you've got to
win a game or two in the SEC tournament.
At least 2 in the SEC tournament. So that's Tuesday and Wednesday.
And let me tell you why that'll be big though, because right now LSU is 17-13 in top 50 RPI teams against top 50 Correct. RPI teams, which is only 3 other teams can say that they have a better record against top 50 RPI. Teams. They're all in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
So if you, again, go 2 out of 3 against Auburn, or maybe even sweep Auburn, and win 1 or 2 games in the conference, you'll be in contention to be a top 16 regional host site. But if they lose 2 of 3 against Auburn, they're not hosting.
They're going to be a high seat. They're going to be a high 2.
Yeah.
They would be a high two.
In a Miami regional or something like that? Or perhaps a Georgia Tech regional?
It won't be an easy regional. It won't be an easy regional, but, you know, they're going to be a high two if they do exactly in the scenario that you just named.
15-12 are the Tigers right now currently in the SEC. Last year they finished in 15-15. Had to go all the way out to Corvallis. We know how all that ended. I'll contend that if LSU can get Cole Henry back and they can get Jaden Hill back, then I think that pitching staff, we just talked about it.
Right.
It changes. It changes what they can do. They're not as limited in forcing their starters to get to five or six innings. First off, I just don't think Mikhail Hilliard is an opening night guy. He's just not. Nothing against Mikhail Hilliard.
He is being forced to be.
I agree. But LSU doesn't have much of a choice. But I just think that Mikhail Hilliard's a pitcher that is so much more effective after they've been seeing 96, 95, 94, and he comes in with that bender and the off-speed stuff, the fastball that usually, you know, 87, 88 miles an hour.
Do you think that he is 100% right now? I think he's probably more closer to 85 to 90 as far as pitching-wise. Now, he can go out there and throw and pitch and tough it out, but I don't think he's got his top stuff.
Either. He might not be, but I know – I know his curveball is his bread and butter. That's his out pitch,
right.
And that's been effective. Now, when he hangs it,
good night.
You saw it against Ole Miss. You saw it against Arkansas. When he was hanging that curveball, the Ole Miss and Arkansas hitters were all over it. And he just doesn't, because he doesn't have that exploding fastball, he can't make that mistake because it's just that much easier for the hitter to pick up on. But LSU very much on the bubble to host a regional. And this is, look, let's be honest, it's been a disappointment for LSU just because of where they were projected to be and where they might finish for a team that had the number one recruiting class and preseason number one. Now, with that said, though, Deuce, same thing with football. I don't get too caught up in the preseason polls before fall camp even begins.
It's nice to see it, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to have those expectations and for your guys to hone in and lock in because you know with those expectations you're going to get the best shot for everybody. But I would, and I think anybody that's being honest, this team has been sporadic at best.
LSU. You
know, and yes, and injuries obviously have hurt them. But at the end of the day, if they can get some arms back, and get healthy, you know, they can still be a dangerous team.
Yeah, I was about to ask you. So if they end up as a high two in a regional, if you're Miami or if you're a Georgia Tech, you don't want that team coming to you.
You don't want that type of team because they still have, you know, enough swag about them where they can walk into anybody's stadium. And you talk about needing, you know, what, four games or three if it falls right for you. That's not what you want.
Yeah, whoever's hosting LSU, if they were hosting them in a regional, is going, please don't give us LSU.
Don't send them here.
Because, look, again, they've got LSU on the front of their chest, and you know that's a very prideful program. And
some
a lot,
swag about them.
Yeah, and they're going to go in there and say, all right, look, we didn't have the season we wanted, the regular season we wanted, but we can erase all of that. If you go out there and win a regional and advance to a super regional, changes a lot. Clarence on a cell phone. What's going on, Clarence? You're on WWL. Hey, Clarence.
Yeah, that kind of actually plays into my question. I think they would like to have LSU fans in there because they LSU fans are known to eat and drink a lot on the road.
Yes, they do.
Christian has actually been to a couple of Omaha trips. Is it actually true that you get 10 to 20% off if you're an LSU fan off of hotel stays and stuff because you make it up in volume?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you do, Clarence. I have been out to Omaha for a couple of College World Series trips. I know this. Barrett Barleycorns is the hangout out there, owned by LSU alum. So they took care of us quite well when I went out there.
Okay, well if you take an RV up there again, I'll see you there. We'll be there.
All right, Clarence, looking forward to it. Maybe we'll link up there in Omaha. I don't know if it's going to happen this year for LSU though. We're just talking about the scenarios and LSU. If memory serves, they've never made it to the College World Series in Omaha unless they were hosting a regional and super regional. So they've never had to. They've never been able to go to a regional and super regional elsewhere and make it to Omaha. So they don't have that home field advantage. I don't know if I feel as good about those chances. NBA game one tonight of the Western Conference Finals. Blazers and Warriors. Who you got, Deuce?
Warriors and six.
I think it's going to go six, right?
I'm hoping.
You just want to make it interesting?
Yeah, I'm hoping that it goes six. I mean, when you look at Damian Lillard being able to go back to Oakland where he's from, that's his home turf. So, you know, if he gets hot, you know, they have him and McCullough enough as far as guards to be able to shoot their way into a good series, you're hoping.
KD completely healthy?
No. Even if he's not, you know, there's still too much other talent.
Too much strength.
Yep.
All right, coming back after our CBS and local news headlines, Sonny Shipp covering LSU for 247 Sports and CBSSports.com will join us. Tigers still in the hunt for hosting a regional if they get hot. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. Text here at 870-870. Are you guys serious? A team would be licking their chops to get a wounded LSU team. It's not quite what we said. We're talking about if they get healthy, Jaden Hill along with Cole Henry coming back from an arm injury, it would be a different team, and I promise you, nobody would want that team coming to their regional. Joining us now, Sonny Shipp covering LSU for 247 Sports and CBSSports.com. And Sonny, welcome to the program. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good. Listen, we're talking about the path, the roadmap for LSU. Four games left, three in the conference. They're at 15-12 in the SEC. What is the roadmap? What's the magic number for LSU to stay in a regional conversation where they're hosting?
Well, I think the magic number, obviously, to stay in the regional conversation, it's kind of weird when you look at their number, at their record and where it is, but they're so highly, they're still so highly regarded in the RPI. It sits at number 22 because of their 17 wins against teams ranked in the top 50 of the RPI. But even with the, you know, the recent losing skids, the recent pattern that they've been on, they still have an outside shot. Some of the college baseball magazines believe to regional if they could beat UNO tonight, sweep the Auburn series, go to the SEC tournament, make one of the runs that they've made in the past, and, you know, make it to the championship game. Some people still think they could host a regional. I think that's a little too ambitious with the inconsistency that they've showed down the stretch, but that's kind of the roadmap that lies in front of them right now.
Texter here, by the way, at 870-870. Could it be possible LSU was just completely overrated this year? Yeah, it's entirely possible. That's why those projections before a game has even been played really don't mean a whole lot. Hanging out with Sonny Shipp, 247 Sports and CBSSports.com. So you laid out the roadmap. Now, Cole Henry, Jaden Hill, if they get those two arms back, how different is LSU then?
With Jaden Hill, I think he gives them something that you could get out of the bullpen, a guy who may be able to come in, give you an inning, give you a two in the SEC tournament, possibly a regional. Being that he hasn't really pitched much this year, I think in a regional atmosphere, it would be a lot to ask of a true freshman. But without question, getting Cole Henry back, I mean, that gives the staff that bolsters them in a big way right there. Because then you have some flexibility of saying, okay, are we better off with starting Zach Hess in a game three situation or with Landon Marceau, the true freshman out of Destrehan? And I think while Hess has been inconsistent as a Friday starter, even when you look at, going into this Auburn series right here, Mikael Hilliard, the sophomore right-hander, has just not looked comfortable at all in a starting role. He's 0-3. He's got an ERA that's up in the 6 right now. And, even with Hess being a better bullpen guy long-term, right now, short-term, I think he's your best option. You've got to put him out there on Thursday night against Auburn, try to get that first win, and then worry about the bullpen from there on.
Talking to Sonny Shipp with 247 and CBSSports.com at Sonny Shipp 247. Sonny, I have to ask you, what do you think from a confidence-wise this team, do they feel very confident as a group? Did that win at Arkansas help them? Or do you think that, in the back of their minds, they're probably still searching a little bit?
Well, they couldn't be any lower than they were before that Auburn win. They gave up 19 runs against Ole Miss in that 19-15 loss in game three of that series. Louisiana Tech shellacked them in a 12-1 game. Then it was 14-4 against Arkansas. Then 11-6 against Arkansas. And then they come out and then they win. They salvaged the Arkansas series in that five-game losing skid off of a three-run homer in the top of the eighth inning against Arkansas. So I don't know if that is something to induce. You could probably account to this a lot more. You've been in a lot more of those stressful competitive situations at high levels like that. But it's almost like they skated by against Arkansas. So I think to really start feeling better about themselves, to really feel like that they're really starting to move something on, it starts tonight against UNO. They've lost two of the last three games that they played against UNO. UNO has won. And you know the Privateers are going to be fired up to come out to notch this big win against LSU. If LSU loses this game tonight, then that gives them a losing season against in-state schools. And, you know, that's something that's only going to hurt their confidence more. But I think if they can come out, if they can get that win against UNO, and not even a, you know, not even a 12-1 type game like they saw against Louisiana, just come out and just get a win to where now in their mind they're like, okay, we've got two in a row. We've got Auburn coming in. An Auburn team that is, you know, it's not one of the better teams in the conference. So if they can just build a little confidence going into that Auburn series, but I think to get that confidence up, it's going to take a win tonight.
Sonny, when you see on Twitter, or I'm sure LSU fans have hit you up with it, or you see someone with a hot take of, hey, it's time to move on from Paul Maneri, what is your reaction when you hear that or see that?
You know, I understand it. I mean, I can see why some fans would feel like that. Personally, I think that, you know, when you said that you started off to this segment with saying, you know, was LSU overrated going into the season? Possibly. You know, they were number one in two of the major polls, major preseason polls. They had a lot of depth in, you know, on the field with Duplantis back, with Cabrera back, with Josh Smith, Brant Brusart, how these guys who have played in big games before. And then the pitching, everyone thought that the pitching was going to come around with the return of Eric Walker. And I think they were a little bit overrated, but I think also when you look at this team, that they have underachieved in so many areas. And when you have a team with as much veteran leadership as LSU has, but it seems like such a lack of enthusiasm around the program. You know, it's been made mention that at the Arkansas series, Daniel Cabrera hits a couple of home runs. Nobody comes out of the dugout to greet. It just seems like everyone is down all around. You look in the dugouts and guys just have their heads down. And when you have that, when you combine everything together, I think that's an obvious sign that change has to be made. Now, I'm not a huge proponent that Paul Maneri is the reason that everything has suffered. Look, you know, I understand everything that he's been through this year. He lost his father. He's got a lot of personal, you know, a lot of personal things that are tough to deal with that he's having to deal with while he does his job. And I think that has to be taken into consideration. But at the same time, I think you do have a lot of changes that have to be made. You know, one thing is that LSU has college baseball teams can have two regular paid assistants. LSU does that with Alan Dunn, the pitching coach. They do it with Nolan Kane, who is the recruiting coordinator and who has a pitching background. I think that Paul Maneri needs to go back and he needs to look at the blueprint that he used before that. When he had first got to LSU, he had Cliff Godwin as the hitting coach, Terry Rooney as the pitching coach / recruiting coordinator. Then after that, you had Andy Cannizzaro, and then you still had Alan Dunn. And so I think they need to go back to a little more balance to where you have, you know, your two biggest positions on staff that you're paying guys and that you're trusting them to do the job that needs to be done. You know, they are two of your higher paid guys, because I don't think it's a secret in this world, in this society, that the more money you make, the more value you're going to feel for your job. And so I think that's something that has to be looked at. But I think when you know, LSU's pitching staff last year finished 13th in the SEC. They're 12th right now going into tonight's game. And whenever you have the talent, whenever you have the resources that LSU has, and you finish that low in the conference in consecutive years, I think that's something that you really, really have to take a good hard look at. So I think with Scott Woodward coming in as the AD, I think that he's going to, you know, I expect him to, you know, to tell Paul Maneri, look, you know, I think you can right the ship. I think you can get things fixed, but we have to make changes.
Yeah, shakeup could be coming for Alan Dunn, that's for sure. When you rattle off those stats, when you talk about a guy, Sonny, that Alan Dunn is revered or was revered for a while as being this pitcher whisperer, if you will, and you have those numbers of 12th and 13th ranking in the conference, that's not up to par.
He was a huge coup. He was a huge coup when he got to LSU. And now people are looking at it. Now people, you know, fans are looking at him. The stats show it's like, you know, what are we doing now? We've got all these pitchers were having to deal with arm injuries, but even the pitchers that we're sending out there are not getting the job done right now. So, you know, you can't underestimate the injuries that LSU has had on the mound, and you have to take them into consideration. But I think if you place all the blame on those injuries, then you're looking for a scapegoat. And I don't think you can place injuries as a scapegoat.
Sonny Chip, or excuse me, Sonny Ship, 247 Sports and CBSSports.com. Thanks for the time, man.
Absolutely, guys. Y'all have a great evening.
All right, we'll step away and come back. Deuce and Christian here. We'll wrap up Sports Talk in a few moments. Hand it off to the LSU Sports Radio Network for LSU and UNO at 6:30 from the box right here on WWL. Winding down here on Sports Talk, Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick. Deuce going to be in for Bobby for the next couple of days, today and tomorrow. And Deuce, we're having a conversation off the air. I talked about it a little bit 2 weeks ago with Bobby, but I want to know your thoughts. We're seeing a lot of talk about arm injuries and LSU and what they've dealt with. Mississippi State, I mean, Ole Miss has had their issues as well with the pitching staff, arm injuries. Emerson Hancock at Georgia, the freshman. The only thing I can reduce this to, and I'm not trying to let Alan Dunn or these pitching coaches off the hook at the collegiate level, but the only thing I can reduce it to is how much are they pitching in high school? Are they being overused in high school and the youth levels?
Well, we definitely know the youth level is a problem, but when you talk about the high school, normally they follow with the rules as far as whatever high school association, whatever the rule is.
Right.
But, man, you get in some of those youth levels and they wear those kids out. They got an elite pitcher and you know you're going to play 5-6 games that weekend. That kid may pitch four of those games, and you know that's not right.
Well, it never should be about innings. I've said this before. It should be about pitches.
Pitches. How many pitches just like they actually throw
in high school, in this state? The LHSAA says 125 pitches in one day is the max. That's way too many. It's just way too many. And then what's the protocol as to the rest? Okay, fine. They throw 125 in one day. How long do they? 2 days. 3 days rest? I mean,
3 days rest, and then in the majors, how long do they?
They get five, and they're not throwing. They're not often throwing.
They get 5 days off, and then they're not. If he's throwing 125, that's a complete game, and we may bump him back where he's not going to make his next start.
Yeah.
In the majors.
I mean, I just think 125 is way too high.
And then in college, you get what, seven? Seven days, right?
Technically,
Friday to Friday.
Yeah.
And
unless
so,
you're a bullpen guy, but you're not throwing 100.
You're not
going to
throw
125
pitches,
right?
You're not going to throw. If you're a bullpen guy, you're not going to throw 125 pitches,
right? It's not just those teams that look around the country. Stanford, I believe, lost one of their big guys. Oregon State as well. I mean, there's a lot of arm injuries, and it just seemed to be higher than what I remember. Do you remember being this high or hearing about them as often as we have this year and the year before?
With the way that we can communicate now, we hear about them a lot more. I mean, it may have not had – it's probably the same amount, you know, but it's mainly been Tommy John's. But now it's more than just Tommy John injuries to pitchers.
Deuce McAllister, Christian Garrick will step away and wrap this thing up next and hand it off to the LSU Sports Radio Network here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, quickly for Louie and Kenner. What's going on, Louie? You're on WWL.
Hey, I believe that the pitches that they're throwing is the kind of pitches when they're in junior high and high school. The main one is a curveball. I have a son that's a pitcher, and he wouldn't throw a curve, and he got benched for it. But now he's got an arm, and he's getting ready to go into the junior college level, and he's got all his tools, and you don't really even need a curveball.
You sure you and, do, Louie? I would tell you this, though. I've talked to a lot of orthopedics experts that are on the Tommy John, you know, research committee and have performed that surgery. And a lot of them will tell you it's not so much the curveball, Deuce, as it is the arm care, the rest, and the maintenance, and how many pitches you actually throw.
You don't think it's a torque as well, though?
I think it can. It has an impact.
Yeah.
It plays a role, but I don't think the curveball is the do-or-die thing that it once was when we were growing up.
Yeah, I agree.
Ready to win some money? Now's your chance for $1,000 in our 12K a day giveaway. The code word this hour is West. Text W-E-S-T to 72881. 72881. Listen for the next code word right before the top of the hour, every hour now through 6 p.m. Don't miss your shot at $12,000 a day in Intercom's national 12K a day giveaway. Good luck from all of us here at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates apply. Please do not text and drive. Semper Fi, I'm out. Deuce, since you're sitting in Bobby's chair, you got to do actually Bobby's goodbye.
Nah, I'm going to stick with mine. Thanks for the callers. Thanks for the texts. You guys are great. We'll see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.